special report coronavirus update. April will be hard to forget for millions more American workers who lost their jobs last month. It pushed the unemployment rate to 14.7%. Business correspondent Christine Romans has details.
20.5 million jobs lost in the month of April. That is a record-setting month in terms of the American labor market. 14.7% is the official unemployment rate here. These are depression-level numbers. In 1940, you saw the unemployment rate at 14.6%. So this takes us back, all the way back to those terrible days.
As bad as it was, White House advisor Kevin Hassett warns the next report could be worse.
You know, I think that already, just looking at the claims we've had since they did the survey that this data comes from, we've probably added about another 4 or 5% to the unemployment rate. And so probably the next number will be a little bit higher than this.
I'm Mike Moss. Two men, a white father and son, accused of fatally shooting black man Ahmaud Arbery near Brunswick, Georgia, now face murder and aggravated assault charges. This morning, correspondent Martin Savage reports protesters are outside the courthouse.
This is the largest protest to date. Part of the reason is that the pandemic had limited crowds until then, but now people have decided that this situation is far more important than concerns of the pandemic. There are hundreds of people that are gathered outside of the Glenn County Courthouse here.
The Georgia Bureau of Investigation's Vic Reynolds says the video evidence is important.
It's certainly a very important piece of evidence. You know, anytime you can see what happens at a scene, then it plays an important role in decision-making. Is it the only piece of evidence? Is it the only thing in this case? No. But is it important? Absolutely.
The suspects were captured on video pursuing and shooting Arbery. On Wall Street, the Dow up 320 points. I'm Mike Morris.
When we adopted Buddy, we didn't know that he has to eat sitting up. That just put him down.
DinoVite.com.
I heard about Dinovite and started mixing it in with his food. He's happy, he's healthy, and he's going to be with me for a long time because of Dinovite.
I love my dog. I want him happy and healthy, so I give him Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny with a high of 104 today, 74 overnight tonight, south wind at 10. For the weekend, partly cloudy and 102 on Saturday, 73 Saturday night, south wind at 10. Sunny and breezy on Sunday and hot with a high of 100. 69 Sunday night.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Money. Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Got George Davis, also advisor, principal at Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Happy Friday.
Starting to get hot, George.
It is. And, you know, 20.5 million jobs lost in April, so I feel pretty fortunate I'm still working. Tom, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it on the show, but I think I might have to. Here's a pink sheet, George.
I vote for that.
You're going to have to add to that March number for me.
So what's funny is the market is going up because I think they thought the number would be about 23 million.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 33 million in unemployment in the last 2 months, which if you look at the number by itself is a huge number. I mean,
it's the worst in history.
Yeah. Mm. Now people, different blogs, different people saying, different extremes. One of the questions, I got a couple times in the office was, hey, if we have unemployment as much as it was in the Great Depression, why aren't we going to go into a Great Depression?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, don't got a crystal ball, but my assessment is the economy was doing really well, people were doing well, and then I give the analogy of the lights getting shut off during a party. Everyone was in good spirits, and I think everyone, jobs were good and everything. So I think emotionally, mentally, I think the typical American isn't defeated. And if you look at what happened in the Great Depression, those guys ate dirt for almost like 18 years. I mean, it was, a terrible environment. And I think there was a lot of broken, souls and mentally. So I think if the Americans can keep positive attitude, if this thing can open up, which I know a lot of the states are starting to open up, they have short-term memories, I hate to say it, but they'll go out and spend some more money. So that's my point. Now, if this thing kind of goes on and there's a second wave and a third wave, and, it's not good for the economy, without a doubt. So that's my thing. A lot of it has to do with the mental status of typical Americans.
But do you really think that, let's say that we get into the fall and we have another wave, that the governors will shut everything down again?
Your guess is about as good as mine, yeah. But I think a lot of them seem to be making moves more for their future office holding than probably what's good for the people.
Possibly.
I mean, because, this hurting the economy could be worse than the actual element,
Yeah.
Especially if people slowly start losing their confidence and such. So this could turn into something bigger, without a doubt. I think to say, the thing that is, they say they're going to find a vaccine within a year, and now we're 3 months into it or something, so let's just say 7 months to 10 months. If that happens, I think, we should be springing back pretty quick. But you never know.
I like your analogy, Tom, of the light switch. People, a party, you turn it off, but then it's not going to be a light switch back on. It's going to be more like a dimmer switch, and you just turn it on slowly and kind of see how it goes and see how people react, and then you may dial it down a little bit and then back again.
Here's my analogy. The light switch goes off at a party. You got two choices: stay at the party, continue on, or leave. And if you leave, you're done for the night. So I think a lot of people are staying in the room hoping for the little light switch to slowly dim on.
Yeah.
And they're still not, heading towards the door.
I'm staying at the party.
You're staying at the party, Russ.
He's taking $2 at the keg. So,
I got an answer for you, though, Russ. I think with the way things are going, because, when this thing hit, we knew nothing. And so the fear factor kicked in, the unknown, how long is it going to last? And now it seems like, and you asked a great question, in the fall as it comes back as a wave, by then we're going to have, they say it's a war. We're fighting a war, but at least we're going to know more about our enemy.
Right.
Maybe that might be some of these treatments that people get sick, and they're recovering 30%, 50% faster. So if you get it, you're not as fearful that you're going to die, because they can give you some type of not a vaccine, but some type of medication.
We're not afraid of AIDS anymore. It's around every day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We don't even talk about it anymore.
Yeah. That one, they've never found a vaccine before.
So the next big question I'm getting is how's the recovery going to be? And if you look at it right now, it's pretty much like a V, meaning, the top was third week of February, bottom was March 23rd, so the market dropped about 40% from top to bottom, and now it's recovered quite heavily. I think now we're down, you know, 10% or less, especially with today's market. So to me, that's a V recovery, right? But what I think could happen is once these numbers start lagging in, and there's a lot of numbers that people aren't aware of. You know, I just give an example. One of the big numbers is they say that a lot of these municipalities are down 18% on their budget now because of the sales tax.
They're not receiving sales tax,
which is part of the budget.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have a lot of fallout is what I call it. And it'd be interesting to see how that shakes out. Wouldn't surprise me if it, you know, does some type of pullback again. I don't think it would go down to the March 23rd level because at that point, I think people thought, you know, a million might die or more. But it will be like a crooked W. I think it'll probably pull down and then kind of go back up.
Right now, if you look back 1 year, 12 months, we're only down 6.78% from 1 year ago, which is kind of surprising. I thought, I thought we'd be more hammered than that, but we're not.
Well, last year was a great year, Russ, and that's, you know, that's a good point you make. People, a lot of people will compare, hey, what was my peak in February, and now the and then
versus
the bottom, peak versus trough, and you're looking at it in a two-week period, because when we were, you know, when the market was dropping there in March, there were days that were the worst day since 1930. And you're talking about the Great Depression.
How many clients want to say, here's the peak, and here's the trough, and I lost 30% or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Or I lost 20 grand.
And then you say, okay, well, let's look what you lost in the last 12 months. Oh, you're up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can manipulate numbers, but most people will look from.
When you ask for investment, you don't ask for investment for 1 week. I mean, you invest strategies for retirements and stuff. So you're always doing long term. But I know short term anxiety takes hold and actually gets you into a conversation.
So the interesting thing about April was it was one of the best gains of the month. It was up 12.8%. And the last time they had that was in January of 1987. So April was a really big month. One of the things that I'm concerned about, I don't know when it's going to kick in, but I think all I have to do is wait and it will, is inflation. Definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, we got a ton of money pumped into our money supply.
Yeah.
Interest rates are low, which means people can borrow money. Too few goods. Look at what's happening to a lot of these contractors and meat packers and other people. You know, their productivity and their item of goods has gone down pretty good. So, you know, the Fed's trying what they can to keep rates low, and they do have some power. But I think ultimately you're going to start hearing the big I word, inflation.
You think?
Could be, yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, next 3 months, but I'm thinking the next, you know, 1 to 3 years. I think it has to. And I, you know, one interesting thing about it was the government printed in their money supply from April to May an extra $1.6 trillion money went to the money supply.
Well, it's nice to know somebody's working. I mean, the printers are working.
Yeah, and how they did that was they basically printed it. So that's
$1.6 trillion.
Look at this. It says the Fed's balance sheet reached $5.4 trillion as of April 22nd of 2020, up from $3.8 trillion February 26th of 2020. So the $1.6 trillion balance sheet increase in less than 2 months is a result of digital creation of money by the Fed, i.e. using purchase lending. I guess they keep track of this digital too, but yeah, there's a lot of money in that system, a lot of money.
Wow. That creates inflation, obviously.
Yeah. But
Well, cryptocurrency would seem to agree with you, Tom. I think it does well if they think the inflation is coming. It's done well lately. It was real low. Yeah, I happened to see it the other day. I think yesterday I looked at it because they had a piece on it because it's up so high. But
I was curious what it's doing, and so Bitcoin is at $10,000 a price. And a year ago, it was at $4,000.
Yeah.
And it's making a big rally up.
Mm-hmm. You need to take a break, man.
Hey, this is Money Talk. Be right back.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FDIC. NRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, talking about what's going on in the economy. We just looked at the numbers. We're down 10% year to date, which doesn't sound too painful.
Mm-hmm.
Although we just took a big sucker punch last 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was a rough March. Our number is 344-5258, 344-KBLU, if you want to give us a call and any questions on investments or finances, be happy to help you out.
So the we talked about supply and demand with the keeping everybody food supply going and a supply chain of just Americans consuming items.
Mm-hmm. Poultry and meat, that, yeah. Like last time you
yeah.
mentioned.
And a lot of the manufacturing indexes have dropped in the level of what they're producing. So
really, I would think some of them have gained because there's some things, well, obvious, like face mask yeah. and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, those niche things, they probably are working, you know, triple time.
Yeah.
Putting
Clorox.
Them but I think a lot of the other lines, especially if they do a 24-hour shift, are working on kind of a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
Either there's some people afraid to show up or that's going to have an effect on overall prices. You start watching... I think where prices are going to go in the mm-hmm. next, you know, 6 months to a year.
Right now, cars are, you know, doing a lot of great deals because I don't think the car sales have been high. And so a lot of manufacturers are... They've been closed, too, so they haven't even been making cars.
Well, GM's hiring. They're doing the ventilators. I heard they're hiring, like...
Are they still doing them? I mean, now that they've realized they don't need them?
I don't know. they still are. They're still making ventilators, so I know they were doing some hiring.
That's
so
awesome.
The article had some other interesting companies that were doing hiring. The Dollar Trees, they're doing well. They were hiring.
Walmart's hiring.
Papa John's, they've done well. They're up like 26% this year. About them, too, because everybody's staying in and ordering pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people on unemployment getting that extra $600 a week, they're not really looking very hard.
You know, that's the other question out there, too. A lot of people are debating is if people can continue to, you know, collect a good chunk of that money without working. Depends on what level you are in the food chain of work, but a lot of people would prefer, you know, not to work and maybe get a paycheck. So I think that's going to have a play, too.
Well, the big argument right now, especially with the jobs report, Tom, is how many of these jobs are going to come back and how many are going to be permanent? I mean, you look at the hospitality, you know, the leisure and sector. If you work for a cruise ship or an airline, how long are you going to be actually out of work, and are they going to replace all those? So,
yeah, I mean, that's where I'm just
travel
saying
leisure
there's
just got
fallout
hammered.
That's going to come. I don't know what that's going to do, but I think there's going to be some.
It's going to be some problem. Yeah, I don't know how a cruise ship operates with social distancing and face masks. That doesn't sound like a fun trip.
I don't know either. So
with the CARES Act being passed, there's a lot of little rules on how people might be able to benefit from the rules that were passed. Some of the rules are you don't have to take an RMD this year if you are over 70 and a half. So an RMD is called a required minimum distribution. And they force you to pull money out every year, and if you don't, it's a 50% penalty. Well, that has been waived. So if any of you listeners out there are taking RMDs and you don't really need the money, you might want to consider having it waived, and that will save you on taxes, because any money that comes out of the IRA account is a taxable event.
Mm-hmm.
So you
could be a 401k, too. If you're not working, Tom, you still have your money in a 401k. Now, they don't. Those companies don't do that for you. Your RMD is still, if your RMD is set, they're going to take it out automatically. So you need to do it yourself. Call your financial advisor or call the custodian and say, hey, I don't want to have my RMD taken.
Yeah, I think every company is a little different. So, but overall, you would want to contact someone to say, I want to stop taking it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume.
Why would you do that, Tom? What's the advantages of leaving your RMD this year if you don't need the money?
Well, you don't get taxed on it. That's a big advantage.
That's true.
If you're just going to take the money and put it in a savings account and let it sit there and get 0%, then it might make sense to leave it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Market's still down 10%. So assuming next year, hopefully, if we have a vaccine and all that, should be better.
Right.
So basically, you're not touching the money when the account's
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, good. That's what I was waiting for you to answer. Nice job, Tom.
So the other thing with this CARES Act, which a lot of people haven't really known about, and this is kind of a big deal, is they will let you pull up to $100,000 out of your IRA account, and basically there's no 10% penalty, and you have to do it before July 15th, is July or October? I don't have the number in front of me.
I think it's the end of the year, actually.
No, it's not. There's a set time when you have to have it pulled out. But anyways, if you pull out up to $100,000, then you have to pay it back. The income tax will hit you in 2020, 2021, and 2022. So you would pay a third of the income over a three-year period, which isn't all at once. But the big kicker is, if you put this back into your account before the three-year period, you don't pay any tax on it. Now, you might have to go back and amend your tax return to show that you put it back, because they're going to hit you on taxes for 3 years. But it's kind of like it would be no interest money. And if you put it back, then there's no repercussion. Now, there is you have to qualify to do this. And it's pretty vague. It basically means that you have to had a spouse or yourself or child been associated with getting the virus. Well, you had to be furloughed, or you had to have a job layoff, or
even hours reduced.
Yeah, hours reduced. If you're a business owner, you have to show that you did less business or had reduced
mm-hmm.
hours. So it's a pretty vague to qualify. It's not overly strict.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it might be something, especially for business owners out there, that would give them access to some working capital or capital to do whatever they want, and then they just have to pay it back.
Yep.
Highly recommend you run this all by your CPA to make sure you know they're on board with it, because this can also bite you back pretty hard if you don't put the money back.
Mm-hmm. Found that day for you, Tom. September 22.
September 22?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have to, if you do this, you have to do it by that date or it goes away.
The other thing that changed is when you take a loan from your 401k or IRA previously, it was half of it, 50%. This is a max of $100,000, but you could take 100% of your money. So instead of half of the, if you had 80 grand, you could take 79 out instead of 40 like in the past.
Yeah, the loan provisions on, well, there's no loan provisions on IRAs. There could be a loan provision on your 401k, but on the 401k, they also allow the $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's retirement money.
Right.
Now, the maximum loan amount you can have on a 401k is 50, up, the max is $50,000 or half of your account value. And then you have to pay that back over a five-year period, and they put you on a payment plan. The interest rates is relatively cheap. It's usually, you know, 2.5-3%, something reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But some people need money, and they just react and pull money out of places without looking at the loan provision. The loan provision is a big deal. I remember I bought my first house after I got married, or we got married. I bought my first house from a loan for my 401k. And I'm 100% sure I wouldn't have been able to buy my first house if I didn't have that money.
Mm.
So it's a good provision to use sometimes, especially if you're not going to, if you spend the money on, you know, an asset.
On something,
just,
yeah.
Not just spending it. So,
mm-hmm. So another thing on the stimulus bill that I was just thinking about, because my brother-in-law actually got his $1,200 yesterday. He was all excited. So he got a direct payment. So he got $1,200. For some reason, they mailed it to him. So I was a little surprised because everyone was saying that if you didn't get it direct deposited, it was going to be in the mail. It would take 3 to 4 months. So he got it pretty quick. So he was pretty happy. He got his $1,200 from the government. And then his mom, she got it too. Hers was a direct deposit. So she got like a couple weeks earlier than he did.
So to me, you know, the deficit right now is at $25 trillion. And they overspent, you know, by $2 trillion this year on this, on the virus thing. But the question is, if, I don't know if you guys follow the Congress, but it looks like there's more waves of money going to be spent. I mean, this thing, when it's all said and done, wouldn't surprise me if they're pushing $28 trillion or so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they're talking, you know, they did two waves of money. Now they're talking about a third one. And
you're talking about the PPP?
I'm just talking about any type of money they're giving back to support people during this downturn.
And then
what's interesting is a lot of the, if you look at what it's being used for in this third revision, it's being more and more used, not probably for its purpose. So there's a lot of, what do you call it when you put a bill in and there's extra stuff in there? Got the term.
Pork.
Yeah, pork bill, yeah. A lot of things in there that probably don't need to go in there.
Now, I think there will be a third one, though.
What's that?
I think there will be a third one. I think they'll.
You seem pretty happy about that, George.
I'm not happy about it, but I mean, I know people are hurting and they need it, but because the PPP, the payroll protection loan for small businesses, that came out of the second wave, and it, you know, went through it real fast, and they're talking about a third one coming out. So I think that'll happen too.
The other thing they're talking about, which they've been talking about for 4 years or so, is doing an infrastructure bill that spends, I think it's $1 trillion or $2 trillion on infrastructure in the United States, whether it's bridges, roads, that type of thing. And at some point, there will be a hazard because some of these bridges are overdue for replacement. So that wouldn't surprise me if that comes out. Now, the big issue they're having on the Democrat-Republican side is the mainly Trump wants to put about 75% of it out to private contractors to get the bids and all that. And the government, or the Dems, want to do majority of it to be done by a government person or government contract.
Of course.
Yeah. So anyways, they're going to have to fight that out. But I think both of them are on board to probably spend that money, infrastructure bill.
Well, it'd be nice. They've talked about it for, like you said, four or five years. But wouldn't it make sense for more job creation to put it out for private?
Yes.
Well, not only make sense, but probably get a little better rate, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, it still takes one guy to run a backhoe or something. But whether he's got a paycheck from the government or paycheck from private, I mean, it's going to be one guy. But I think it's more efficient to go to private.
Well, and then you're going to get some bids, too, right? People are going to be bidding instead of just one government price. So you get a little competition.
You get more bang for the buck, more miles of highway.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FDIC. NRA SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group, talking about what's going on out there. I want to talk. We mentioned interest rates, and I want to talk a little bit about that. The 10-year Treasury. Any idea what the 10-year Treasury's yielding, George? Since you're a money guy.
1.6.
You're wrong.
Oh, zero.
The 10-year Treasury is 0.54.
Ooh, I was closer.
You were closer.
No,
I'm off by 4%.
Now, this was from Barron's Magazine, so I'm not quite sure how good it is, but it says that there is 10 Wall Street analysts believe that by the end of the year, which is December 31st of 2020, that the 10-year Treasury will be at what level?
That would be a negative number.
0.1.
1.5 to 2.2.
Oh, they expect a rebound.
Well, remember I told you rates, interest rates?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, inflation
makes sense.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, they expect a rebound.
So they're expecting an economic boom.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but
you're not going to have inflation unless people are buying stuff.
Well, maybe they expect a little bit of more back to normal? Because what were they before all this happened? Were they 1.5?
Yeah, it was about that area.
And now,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was about that area.
Okay.
But I will say you know, that's going to cause money supply and people borrowing and such, mortgages, loans at banks, to go up a little bit.
Yeah, now it's time to buy the mortgage.
So now's the time to look at what you owe and what interest rates you're paying and see if you can lock that in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the, I was looking at some CDs yesterday, and they had a 5-year at 1%.
Woohoo!
I know.
What the heck?
Now, you know what's interesting about rates going up from, you know, it closed at 0.64, excuse me, not 0.54. But anyways, with rates going up like that, you know what that's going to have a big effect on that no one's talking about besides consumer paying more money to get money? The debt. And it could be a, you know, if that gets out of control, if interest rates go up quite a bit in the next 5 years, our debt number will change pretty drastically.
Nobody seems to care that much anymore. It's like, whatever.
You know what I don't understand? I don't understand why the government, some of the other countries are doing this. I don't understand why the government doesn't do a 100-year treasury. Mexico does it. Rates are pretty much beat to heck. Why would they not take their debt and just expense it out for 100 years at a rate that's unbelievable?
Or start making payments back or something? I mean,
well, you know,
so they're
right
basically
now,
refining what they currently have, type
right,
of thing.
Right now, when they roll their debt back into the next treasuries, basically, they're doing about 20 years. That's the big number. I mean, look at all the different bonds they're rolling over.
Oh.
But my point is, you know, at some point it would make sense to go to 50-year or 100-year if they have them. I don't know if they do.
Versus redoing them.
Yeah, because you know, if rates turn around, which they probably will at some point, it's going to cost us. I mean, I look at that as our taxpayer debt. You know, we have a deficit.
Oh.
It's going to be on us, right?
Because a lot of major institutions are redoing their debt right now. They rebuy bonds. Because they can get a better rate.
I know, but the government's not. That's
not.
What's strange.
That's
but can they do that? That's kind of weird because it's their own T-bill, you know, their own debt.
They sell it to people, so
they
can.
Yeah,
they
sell it.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
no, but if one comes due, like you said, and they put it into another 10 or 20 year, that'll lower it automatically, correct, from what the one previously was. So they have to buy their own back when it comes due, or they just sell it.
George, I think you need to study up on how money supply works, buddy.
Well, no, but why can't they do it? It's their own, like you're saying.
So listen,
they can issue $100.
$10 million comes due, right?
Yep.
And basically, someone owns that, whether it's a bank, China, somebody has that. So basically, they're going to pay that person off because they have to, but they're still going to have that debt unless it gets paid down.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to take that and roll it back into something else. And they've been rolling them back into 20-year treasuries.
Right. But what if they own it? What if the government owns it themselves? Why does someone else have to own it? They can buy their own, right? Isn't that what they've done also?
I don't know.
I mean, that's
sure
the part I get
somewhere,
confused.
But the purpose of them doing it is getting other people to finance the debt.
Right.
Government, what's the purpose of the government financing the debt? They're trying to get other people's money.
So if they do it 100-year like you're talking about, then they would get someone else and say, hey, buy this 100-year one at this interest rate.
Yeah, and it's good for 100 years.
Okay.
Mexico has it. There's a couple of European countries that did that. So I think they're onto something.
You think it's an advantage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if you knew you had a lot of money that's going to have to be ballooned out 20 years from now, and we're talking $28 trillion, give or take, I mean, would you want to let that go on for another 100 years at such a good rate? I would.
What kind of demand are you going to have, though, at 100 years at that rate? I guess security, people... I mean, some of the other countries are negative, and people are buying it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying all of it would go that way, but I know Mexico sold some bonds, so people had interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I just think it's something that they should look into. And you know, who's the treasurer right now? He's an ex-Wall Street guy. Is it Steve?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's a smart guy. You think he would be figuring out how to refinance our government debt, you know?
Yeah, I know you think so.
He's in a Twitter battle with Axl Rose right now. He hasn't got time.
Yeah. anyways, so a couple of things to remember. Tax returns aren't due till July 15th. The money you owe on taxes isn't due till July 15th. So people have a little bit more time. I talked to a couple of local CPAs in town and said, hey, how's that affecting you? And they love it. Buys them 3 more months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they love it, but they're saying it's not as the crunch time is getting stretched out a little bit better. So so that's happening.
Also, the other important thing,
Tom. If you have a defined benefit plan, which is a plan for business owners, they will let you waive you put money into the plan for 2020. No penalties, no nothing. That's part of the CARES Act, is they will allow that to be frozen for
like,
you.
Like nobody has a defined benefit anymore except the government.
We have some.
You do?
I mean, yeah, well, yeah, locally. Mainly what it is small business owners that have a smaller staff.
Yeah.
Because what it is, it's like a pension program. And we have some people that, and they do it by your age. So that's saying by a certain age, you should have so much money for a pension. And the number is like $3 million or some number. And if you only have 5 or 6 years left to put money in, say, let's say you're 58 years old, they will let you put away upwards of $200,000 a year away off your income. Now, some of that money will go to some of the employees. So that's why you have to crunch the numbers to see if it's worth doing.
Yeah.
But we have individual business owners, a.k.a. a lot of doctors, that do the defined benefit plan. But they can waive it if they don't want to participate this year with the CARES Act.
So, yeah, the hospital itself was a defined benefit program, and it changed to a 401k 10 years ago or so.
Yeah. Now, what they did is they froze the pension part of it, because if you're an old employee at the hospital, you can get that pension, and then the new people have the 401k. Good morning.
You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I heard on the Russ Clark show the other morning, just a little plug for you, Russ.
Thank you, man.
But anyway, some gal was talking about taxes, you know, about since you were talking about taxes over in New York, you know, that they were taxing the volunteers that were working over there, and they were going to get taxed the state tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes you put the ball players, the professional ball players now, in a different light. I feel sorry for their accountants, because they have to go through each state as far as state taxes go.
Yeah, you know,
would that be right?
My brother-in-law actually pitched for the major leagues, and he was saying when he did his taxes, he would get, you know, tax forms from like 10 different states, depending on how many games he had. So,
right.
Yeah, yep, it gets complicated.
Wow. Yeah, I'll bet it does. But I don't feel sorry for him by any means, you know. It's, you know, but anyway, hey, you guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm, bye.
So people understand that better. If you work in Arizona, you got to pay state tax, you know, for working. So by people traveling to working in New York, New York's claiming that they want that state tax of what they got paid. And New York state tax compared to Arizona state tax, we might want to Google this, Russ, but I think it's a difference of like 3 times, 4 times more expensive to be taxed in New York.
Yeah.
So
California's 4 times more.
Yeah, so it's a high number. I think California and New York are one of the bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, the workers that probably volunteered, I don't know if they volunteered, but are doing that probably only.
Well, they volunteered to go. They were getting paid by the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, they volunteered their services to be in New York.
Yeah.
But then they get hit with these healthy.
I'm sure that was never mentioned to them when they volunteered, you know?
Yeah, by the way.
Go there and you pay more.
Your taxes may take away any advantage of coming here, you know?
Yeah. But see, Cuomo was on governor of New York, and they're really worried about the money not being created by the municipalities.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And
they already had huge debt.
Yeah.
They were already upside down. And now they're asking the federal government to bail them out.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training. training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning. I'm Aziza Schuler with your KYMA News 11 update. According to the Yuma Health Department, a child here has died from the coronavirus. This marks the first pediatric death in the entire state of Arizona, and now the second death from the virus in Yuma County. Yuma County is not releasing further information on the child's death, except to say the child had multiple serious underlying medical conditions. There are 157 cases total in Yuma County. 24 of those people remain in the hospital. As for Imperial County, 455 people have tested positive. An 11th person has died. Yuma Regional Medical Center, in partnership with the city, is also providing drive-through coronavirus testing at the Civic Center this Saturday. Sunset Health in Somerton is also offering drive-through testing this Saturday from 8 a.m. till noon. It'll be right in the parking lot. Thank you for watching KYMA News 11. We will see you right back here for more news.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FDIC. NRA SIPC.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We're talking about what's going on out there in the economy. Hopefully, I know the state of Arizona talked about opening up some restaurants on Monday. Right. This is Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have had the heart to open it on Friday.
They weren't thinking.
But
well, some stuff opened up today.
Just our barbershops, I'm going.
Barbershops, I think massage.
Salon.
Salon, yeah.
Can I get a tattoo today? Can I get a tattoo? Yeah. No, you can't. Tattoos are still.
You're getting a haircut today, Russ?
Yeah, I hope so. Dude, the lines aren't too long.
So anyways, doesn't seem like a big deal either, but a lot of these holidays, like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, there's a lot of money being spent out there.
Those are big booms for the restaurant industry. Those are big days. And
Mother's Day, is actually the biggest day for restaurants. Yeah, I was a little surprised that it was actually the biggest day, but it makes sense. This year it won't be.
Home and cook for mom.
Yep.
I think if I was Governor Ducey, I would say, you know what, we're going to make it Sunday, open restaurants. Just for Mother's Day. What's one day going to do, right?
It would have been nice. Smart. It would have been smart.
So the CARES Act, that's something that has just a lot of information in there that's beneficial to individuals or businesses. George has a couple items that he wants to talk about, which...
a couple of the items, Tom, that maybe people don't know about. First, I want to expand on your tax filing extension that you talked about, July 15, because what it also means is that if you're going to contribute to an IRA, a Roth, or an HSA, you have now until July 15 to do it for 2019. And otherwise, that would have been passed on April 15. So you actually have until July 15 to still contribute for your IRA and Roth. So make sure you keep that in mind. And then before the show, me and Russ were talking a little bit about which is part of the CARES Act, is the unemployment insurance benefit. And actually what that did is that boosted unemployment for people 600 per week. up to 4 months, which is paid by the federal government, and extends the state maximum benefit by 13 weeks. So people that file for unemployment get an extra $600 a week for the next 13 weeks. And then it'll end unless they extend that further. First 4 months paid by the feds, and then the states take over. That's what, 600 times four? That's, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
$2,400 a month. That's pretty good.
That's extra.
Extra on top of it,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Some of these people, depending on how much they make, are not going to be overly anxious to go back to work. They're probably making more money than, you know, saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in Arizona, where that 600 is on top of a 200 a week, 250 a week. Or some states, like New York, is going to be a much higher unemployment, so the 600 is a smaller percentage. For here, it's like knocked you down like crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my wife's friend, her brother, is making $850 a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's got to be a month.
Well, he's never made
like, no, he said it was $850 a week.
Exactly what it is.
And now I know it is.
You have a phone call. You're on the air.
Hello there. Hello, guys. This is David Latta.
Hey.
How you guys doing? Hey, well, a quick question or comment.
Okay.
So with all this unemployment, we have the real numbers as far as unemployment in Yuma County are completely false, because we have the majority of the unemployed people after the season that live in San Luis, Mexico. So if they're getting $2,400 in unemployment a month to stay home, that's a lot of money. And we have the melon season right upon us. So what's going to happen there? I mean, if there's a shortage of labor, because people rather take $2,400 and stay home.
Which I don't blame them, right?
What's going to happen there? What's that?
I mean, I don't blame them for that thought, right? Pick melons or stay home and get paid $2,400.
Yeah, exactly. So if they get called in and they refuse, and they say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get coronavirus, then they get their $2,400 a month. That's per person.
I don't know that that has been decided yet, Dave. I mean, I've heard that question's come up, but I don't know that there's a directive yet that says that's going to happen. All you have to do is claim you're scared, and you keep getting paid that outrageous amount. I don't know.
I think what the employer can do is ask them to come back to work, and if they decline, then I think they would turn them over that they're not unemployed anymore because they were offered a job.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
So maybe they'd get cut off from that money, but I'm not sure either.
Right. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. But if there's a way to take some shortcuts and stay home, they'll take advantage of it. Now, imagine this. That's $2,400 a month per person, and in a couple, that's $4,800 to live in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Heck yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. How about the water business and this downturn with the virus? Has the water business stayed about the same, or people more likely to get...
No, actually what happened right in the middle of it, I mean, it went through the roof. So that's good, but it's also bad, because then when it started to come down, then everybody was overstocked. So then you get a downturn.
I see.
So everybody overstocked, so now sales have gone down.
Supply demand, huh?
So it kind of levels out. I mean, it kind of levels out. You save your money, I mean, in reality, it turns out to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if you spend it, then you're in a hole. Now, one thing that I did notice, people would be in a panic. They call that they need bottled water or bulk water. We'd go up there, and I would find homes that would have 10 cases of water from Sam's Club, plus the water I was delivering. I mean, to me, that was...
So they're hoarding.
Over the top.
Hoarding water?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No need... But, you know, what can you do? They requested it, they pay for it, so you deliver it.
Sure.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, they're hoarding chicken right now.
Everybody's overstocked, so it'll be a little slow here for about another month, so people run out, then it'll level out.
Thanks for the call-in.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, so I have a question here. So basically the unemployment benefit was extended by 13 weeks. That states have to pay. What was the amount of weeks that states originally have to pay before the extension of 13? Do you know that?
I'm not an HR specialist, so my answer is no. I'm not able to Google it.
Okay.
What was the thing for nonprofits? Because a lot of nonprofits are hurting, you know, to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So they did a little bit of a plug for them.
Yeah, so another one was the charitable deduction changes. So the CARE Act made changes. Now, this has to be a cash contribution, Tom. So basically, you can make a $300 cash contribution to a qualified charity and to help support that organization. So anytime this year, you get to deduct the whole $300.
And they say something about, does it have to be itemized? Or what do they say about that?
Yeah, it says you can make a $300 cash contribution to qualified charities without needing to itemize the deduction.
So everyone, not everyone, but I think that's a big number. I haven't heard it from any of the nonprofits, and first time I heard about that was when you read it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should be blasting that out to everybody, because, I mean, I think a lot of people aren't aware of that.
No, I think so. I think that's why it's important on this radio show to get that kind of stuff out, Tom.
You know how Trump, with the tax change, you have to itemize and have a much higher number. It went from like $10,000 to $20,000 for household. So a lot of these nonprofits people aren't giving as much, because basically if they can't itemize that much money, then it's not worth it. So this is a big plug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. But would this fall in churches too, without, you know, people being there? They're in need of help too. I wonder if this would fall under that.
If it's a nonprofit, it's 501c. Doesn't really matter what kind. Society. You know.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah. Makes sense. So a couple other ones, Tom, on the stimulus bill that you may not be aware of is the student loan payment deferral. I know a lot of employees or, you know, students have student loans. So the CARE Act automatically suspends this if you have a federal student loan, any loan payment and any interest until September 30th of this year. So if you're making your loans, they just automatically suspend it and you don't have to.
You know, the student loans has exploded starting at the beginning of the Obama presidency, and I'm not saying he had anything to do with it, but maybe he did.
Well, he did directly.
But anyways, so a lot of these kids are coming out of college with, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 student loans.
Mm-hmm.
My niece just graduated from NAU, and I know that she basically came out with $51,000 in student loans.
51? Yeah.
I mean, you know, did you come
That's
out of college with
low.
Student loans?
Maybe $5,000.
Yeah, I think that
Something
was
real
like
minimal.
$3,800.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was worth.
Really?
You know, yeah. I mean, at the time, you know, you got to take it for that spring break money. Spring break's coming up. I need
a loan. $1.6 trillion right now. So it's huge. It's crazy.
It's
money.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think my tuition was a little bit less back then, though.
and actually, if you go bankrupt, the student loans stay in play. You can't wash those out.
Right.
It's another thing that people need to realize.
So this one, maybe you can help me out with this one, Russ, because I don't know how to wrap this around. I don't know why you would do this, but it sounds pretty neat. So dealing with student loans again, the CARE Act enables employers to provide a student loan repayment benefit to an employee on a tax-free basis. So an employer can contribute up to $5,250 this year annually towards an employee's student loan.
I know what it is.
And it'd be excluded from their income.
Basically, one of the companies challenged the 401k system and said, we don't want to do a match. We actually want to pay student loans off to entice people.
Yeah.
So they allowed it. So I don't think a lot of people are using it, but there's ways that you can have the employer match go towards the student loan and not towards the 401k.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's a lot more detail than that, but that's out there.
Yeah, it's up to, well, I mean, that's up to $5,200, which is, you know, a pretty decent chunk, like 10%.
I mean, you know, with the high demand areas like the hospital and that, they probably are doing some of that to get
people. City does it, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, it looks like we're up for the hour. Everybody stay cool. Have a great weekend. Be kind to moms. And
yeah, don't forget Sunday, Mother's Day. Man.
Have a great time.
Take trouble.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.